You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, good morning. I'm glad to see you all here today. It has been a very amazing morning so far. I love listening to our worship band. I love being a part of it, but I love listening to them even more. It gives you a completely different perspective. So, where do you start on a topic like this? You'll notice your notes that the title is left blank for a reason. I'm kind of pulling a Jessica and leaving some blanks and making you pay a little bit of attention and channeling my inner teacher, I guess. So, have you ever wondered why a lot of the important stuff that we have from God comes in twos? So we have two arms, we have two legs, because God wants us to work with our hands and move with our feet to further the kingdom. We have two eyes and two ears, because we are supposed to watch and listen before we speak and get our mouth in trouble. So we really have two things that we need to be worried about in life. If we're healthy or if we're sick. If we're healthy, there really isn't a problem. If we're sick, now we have two things to worry about. Are we going to get better or are we going to get worse? And if we're going to get better, nothing to worry about, right? If we're going to get worse, are we going to live or not? If we're going to live, nothing to worry about. If not, well, two more things we have to worry about. Are we going to go to heaven or somewhere else? We go to heaven, no problem, right? We go to the other spot, we have to worry about two things. Original or extra crispy. So, just kidding. You really do have two things to worry about. It's a choice we make. It's part of the whole free will thing, right? So our pastoral team has been covering a series, what we're created for. And let's be serious, we're created for a lot of things. We're created on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. It's honestly one of the first things I teach in Triumph is how to find your purpose. It tends to be a little bit easier than what people think. They're like, oh my God, I don't know what God wants me to do. It's at an intersection where your passion and your anointing meet. That's your purpose. So, if I have a passion to be an Olympic long distance runner, but I was anointed with a really athletic body, I'm probably not going to make the Olympics in 2028, right? God does not give you a purpose that you are not passionate about or anointed for. So is purpose and what we're created for the same thing? Yes? No? It is. It's all in how God equips us. And this is your first answer other than the title. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If you are called for a purpose from God, he will give you the anointment and the passion for it. For somebody like me who's gone through what I tend to think of as a very hard life, I've come to learn a lot to know about how God has equipped me, what my purpose is in his sight. I was put on God to love on others, to make sure that there's no one within my reach that feels unloved, unwanted, or less than. To make sure that there is no one within my reach that feels alone in their darkness. Because sometimes helping someone in their darkness isn't about trying to rescue them from it. It's about being there with them in it. So here's your answer for the top of the page. We are created for commitment. And I think I just saw every guy in this room go, ooh. Yes, commitment. It's a scary word, right? But there are levels of commitment. Just like every other human emotion we have, there's levels of commitment. There's levels of anger. There's levels of love. There's levels of joy, hope, peace, passion. There are levels of commitment. Connor, could you bring that stuff up for me, please? There are things in life that we choose to be committed to, and there are things in life that force us to have a commitment. Thank you, sir. So I'm really channeling my inner teacher now. You know, I do, you do, we do, right? Isn't that how it goes, Patty? Yeah, I know. It's been a while, but. So here we are. We're going to talk about commitment. This is us, right? Empty shell. There's nothing in here. When we start to be committed, when we start to follow Christ, when we start to take on that important role of being a child of God, things start to change, right? We start to feel a little more full. And a little more full. The more time that we spend with God, we start to feel a little better about ourselves, a little better about how we can help others, a little better about our life. And it's kind of hard for other people to see what our commitment level is to Christ, right? You can't truly see what's in there. But then being in the world, there are other commitments that we have. Come on, I'm being a teacher. It's fun. So we have our commitment to work. We have our commitments to our family. We have our commitments to pretty much everything else, right? And we go around and go, oh, God is right in the center of my life. He does everything for me. He knows everything about me. But I really should get to work today. I got some stuff to do, and I need to take care of this, and I need to make sure I'm spending time with the kids and the grandkids, and my mom needs help. And our commitment starts to look a little cloudy. Our commitment to Jesus seems to be a little overtaken, right? So what we end up doing is two things. It comes back to that too, right? We can choose to be committed, or we can choose to be committed to something else. Well, if you start reading the word and spending time in worship, things start to become a little clearer. And we spend more time with Christians that we know, starts to become a little bit more clear. We keep spending time with Jesus in our own ways, reading, singing, spending a lot more time, and all of a sudden, it's pretty crystal clear. There might be some pieces still on the bottom, but they aren't overtaking all of our commitment. And it becomes a life that others would want to drink from. All right, so enough of that. Now that I've got everything. I know. I try awful hard. My wife tells me the same thing. My mom had other choice words, but we won't go there today. All right. So here we are. Oh, I feel like a teacher again. Ooh, that was kind of something. Sherry, I'm sorry. You teachers, you have it rough. Yuck. All right. So Christianity is and will always be one of the hardest choices you make. Jesus did not sugarcoat this. And don't let anyone tell you that it's any different. He didn't run a marketing campaign and say, hey, follow me, we'll have an easy life when you just sign up. Everything will be perfect. So let's take a look at Luke 14. Jesus is talking to a large crowd of people who are following him around, probably feeling pretty good. I'm following the Savior. Look at me. I'm pretty special. They're feeling pretty committed. And Jesus turns around and goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. Before you guys get too excited, let's talk about what this actually costs. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees you will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. It's not exactly the kind of thing that we put out on the NTC banners out front, right? Come on in, but make sure that you can finish what you start, or we're all going to laugh at you. But that's the honesty that Jesus brings. He's not interested in half-hearted followers who bail the moment it gets uncomfortable. He's looking for people who count the cost first and still sign up. And here's one thing about your commitment to God. It's not a one-time decision. And then you just coast. You don't get up to speed and set the cruise and never expect to hit a pothole in a Christian life. I really wish it worked that day, but that's not how it works. So here's your second answer. Commitment isn't a moment, it's a direction. You make the decision to be committed and you keep following forward. It's the plow. How many of you who have ever worked on or around a farm have heard the phrase, putting your hand to the plow? Okay, let's think about a plow, how it actually works, right? If you're plowing a field, okay, I'm gonna plow my field over here. And my hand's on the plow, and I'm walking forward and I look like this. My lines aren't gonna be very straight, are they? So if you're walking through your Christian life constantly looking back at how easy it used to be back there, it's not going to work. It's always eyes forward, feet moving, hands working. If you look back at where you used to be, at what you gave up, and how much easier things were back there, your row is going to be a mess. You're going to miss the large rocks that will stop your crops from coming up. You're gonna miss all the pebbles and stuff that just may throw off the rest of the field. So let's talk about it in today's standards. My wife knows that I am horribly fixated on how the lawn looks. I go down this way, and I turn around and I go back this way. And then I turn around and go back this way, so it's striped, right? If I'm mowing my lawn doing one of these things, is my lawn gonna be straight? Am I gonna be happy with how it looks? Not at all. I will mow the lawn and Heather will come home and go, oh, the yard looks great. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Do you see that line over there? I see it. Well, you're the only one that does. And it's in the backyard behind our house that no one will see. Well, I know it's there and it bothers me. Did we put up Luke 9:62, please? It all comes down to this. Luke 9:62. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. It's a pretty hard passage, right? If you're constantly looking back at the life you used to have, you're feeling pretty lukewarm in your commitment. That's hard. This message is not going to be easy to swallow for a lot of us, for myself included. Many times I have looked back and went, what's the bigger picture? Because this does not make sense. This is not what I signed up for. Trust God and in the process is something that my wife tells me all the time. And I'm not up here to guilt trip anybody. It's not what it's about. Everyone here has looked back at some point. I bet if I asked you to raise your hand, there wouldn't be a hand down in the room. We've all looked back at some point and questioned it a little bit. This is too hard. It's a little uncomfortable. I can't see your plan. I don't understand, God, why? There's a passage in Revelation I don't think I've heard too many pastors preach on. And it's one that, when I was doing a little bit of research on this, came up, and it said exactly that. Not too many people preach on this. And I went, oh, that sounds like a passage for me. Perfect. We'll put this in. So, this comes from Revelation 3, 15 and 16. And Jesus is talking to John. They're sending a message to a church in Laodicea. And I think it's the NLT version says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor warm. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, I will spit you out of my mouth. I think it's the newer King James Version is mostly the same, but it says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And that's pretty rough language for a guy who is normally known as meek, right? What I think Jesus is truly getting at is this. He'd rather you honestly be far away from him than pretend to be close to him. Lukewarm commitment, the kind where you show up where it's convenient. Give when it doesn't cost anything. Follow Jesus as long as it doesn't interfere with your plans. That's the kind of commitment that Jesus doesn't want. Not because he's mean, because half-hearted love isn't love at all. Ask anyone who's been on the receiving end. An easier way to remember it is this. Jesus didn't die for a maybe. He died for a yes. Amen. So where does this leave us? If God is that serious about commitment, and we've all been lukewarm at some point, where does grace fit into all this? Some of us are sitting here, maybe feeling a little bit lukewarm in one way or another, going, oh boy. But here's some good news, and I mean that literally, the gospel. Grace isn't a loophole to get around sin. Grace is not God looking the other way and pretending he didn't see what you just did. Grace is God saying, I see exactly what you did. I know exactly who you are, and I love you anyway. Amen. And I love you way too much to leave you here. Grace is God's love, unconditional, undeserved, and always free. Hallelujah. Can you put up Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5, please? So, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Why'd you pick me then? Fulfill your vow. It is better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Now, let's put this in the context. This isn't God standing over you with a scoreboard, right? What Solomon is saying here is that God takes your word seriously. He takes you seriously. When you stood at an altar, whether it be an altar of salvation, a marriage altar, sitting in your car at 10:30 on a Tuesday night, God, I'm done doing this on my own. He heard that. He wrote it down. Not to use against you when you started not to listen, but because you are important to him. That moment mattered to him. So what happens when we break that vow? when we are working our plow and take a peek back at what was behind us, how much easier things were before. What happens when we walk away from our marriage, from our faith, from our commitments, from the commitment we made to follow him no matter what? He forgives us. Full stop. That's what grace is for. If you've walked away from God, from church, from a marriage, from a relationship, from a promise you've made, and you're sitting here feeling the weight of that, I want you to hear that real clear. The door is not closed. It was never closed. God's office doesn't have office hours. But the important part is this, and this is another answer for you guys. Grace is not the same as consequence-free living. Grace is not a blanket statement to say, do what you want, I'll still love you. It's not how that works. You can be fully forgiven and still dealing with the wreckage of a broken commitment. Those two things can be both true at the same time. God restores, but restoration takes time. God redeems, but redemption has a process. And here's something I want you to sit with for a moment. If you are willing to walk away from a commitment when it gets hard, whether a marriage, a friendship, a ministry, a promise you made, what does that tell you about how you'll handle your walk with Christ when it gets hard? And we all know it's going to get hard. Because here's what I've come to learn. The enemy doesn't come after things that don't matter. He comes after the things that do. He comes after your marriage because a strong marriage reflects the covenant love of God. He comes after your commitment to church because a committed, unified body of believers is the most dangerous thing to the enemy. Amen. He comes after your faith because a person who is fully committed to Christ and walking in their purpose is a dangerous person to the enemy. Right. So you being committed to God, to your spouse, to this church community, isn't just a personal choice. It's spiritual warfare. Every time you choose to stay when it would have been easier to leave, every time you show up when you don't feel like it, every time you honor a vow when no one would blame you from walking away, that is an act of warfare on the enemy. That is you picking up the plow, keeping your eyes forward, no matter how long and rocky the field is ahead. So some of us, and I'm talking about myself, have had pretty crooked fields growing up. I've struggled through depression and anxiety a large portion of my life. I came from a broken home. I think a lot of where I've been in life comes from having a broken love beginning and in that childhood and in that broken home. Always seeking love from people I thought I could fix. Well, I can fix them so they'll love me. That's how this is going to work. The problem was I was the one that needed the fixing. That empty glass that we did in the beginning, that was me. I was a really good shell. It was just really empty. Some of you may know I was a volunteer EMT for about 15 years, and I'm still a volunteer firefighter for the past 15. So I've seen a fair share of ugliness that this world has between sickness and accidents and all of that stuff. Many times I've looked back saying, God, how could you let this happen? when cancer took a dear friend of mine in 2011, I looked back and said, why, God? When my first marriage failed, I said, why, God? When my second marriage failed, I said, why, God? When I had to hold the hand of a dying gunshot victim, why, God? When I had to do CPR on an infant, why, God? Why? Because then I didn't have a relationship with Christ like I do now. I didn't understand God's grace. I didn't understand what it was to be committed to a loving God. I understand now. The death of my stepdad, Jim, to cancer, I understand now. God, thank you for loving him and bringing him home. The cancer scare of my wife, I understand now. Thank you for healing my wife. Amen. The uncertainty of the first 100 days of my granddaughter being born at 28 weeks, unresponsive for 8 minutes. And now she is a precious, vibrant little bundle of joy and sass. I understand now. You are so good. I understand how my depression and anxiety were gifts to reach out to others just like me. When your cup is filled with a total commitment to Christ, there's no room for doubt. The muck is washed clean, and your life is a life worth drinking from and pouring out into others. Sorry. Sometimes it's hard to remember some of that stuff. So here we are. Probably a little short. 10:15? Oh, not too bad. We've talked about what commitment looks like and what it costs. What grace does with our failures and what is actually at stake when we choose to stay or walk away. And I want to bring it back to the beginning where we started, because it began with twos. Two choices. That's really what commitment comes down to. Not 100 options, not a complicated flow chart. Two choices every single day. In every area of your life, there are choices. You are either moving toward your commitments or away from them. You are either picking up the plow or looking back on the field of your life to what you left behind. There is no lukewarm in the kingdom of God. Joshua understood this. After everything the Israelites had been through, the wilderness, the battles, the moments where they absolutely should have quit, and no one would have blamed them. Joshua stands up and lays it out plain as pie. Joshua 24:15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in those lands where you were living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I love that passage for a lot of reasons, but mostly because Joshua doesn't manipulate anybody. Well, if you want to follow me, you'll love God. Well, if you want your life to be really good, you'll follow me and we'll follow God. He says, here you are. Here's your choices. Follow somebody else or follow our Lord. You follow these people that have done all these things, or you follow our Lord that has been with us the entire time. I know who I'm choosing. I'm choosing the Lord. He doesn't pressure them. He gives them two options. You choose. So here's what I'm asking of you guys today. I'm not going to ask you to perform a commitment. Not to make a promise because you feel emotional right now. And the worship band is playing and the lights are turned down a little bit. I'm asking you to make a decision, a real one. The kind that holds up on a random Wednesday morning when nothing feels spiritual and everything feels like garbage. What are you committed to? Not what you wish you were committed to, not what you used to be committed to. Right now, today, in this season of your life, what are you actually giving your full weight to? Because here's what I want you to walk out knowing. You weren't created to be lukewarm. You weren't created to coast. You weren't created to make halfway promises to a God who went all the way for you. You were created for commitment. It's written into the very fabric of who we are. Because you were made in the image of a God who is the most committed being in the universe. This is a God who made a covenant with Abraham and kept it for generations. This is a God who sent his own son, not because it was easy and not because it was convenient, but because he made a promise and he does not break his promises. This is a God who looked at you knowing every time you would fail him, every time you would look back from the plow, and every time you would choose lukewarm over all in, and said, I choose you anyway. I'm committed to you, and I'm not walking away. If that God is committed to you like that, what would it look like for you to be committed to him like that? And I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to have it all figured out. I'm just asking you to pick up the plow, point it forward, and don't look back. Maybe for some people in this room, the commitment you make isn't a new one. It's an old one you need to return to. Could I have some people from the prayer team come up in case anyone wants to receive prayer? It's an old one we need to return to. It's a marriage that's gone lukewarm. It's a faith you've flat grown cold. A promise you made to a God in a desperate moment that you've slowly walked away from. You slowly walked away as life just got a little more comfortable. Today can be that day if you want to come back to that. And if you've never made a commitment to Christ at all, and you've been sitting in the seats wondering what all of this is all really about, today is a good day. Actually, today is a perfect day. Because you just heard that the God of the universe is already committed to you. All you have to do is say yes back. It's two choices every day. That's it. It's for me and my house. I know where we stand. Where do you stand?
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.